engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, Demas, enamored of the present world, deserted me and went to Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Luke is the only one with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is helpful to me in the ministry. I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak I left with Carpus in Troas, the papyrus rolls, and especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. You too, be on guard against him, for he has strongly resisted our preaching. At my first defense, no one appeared on my behalf, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the proclamation might be completed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Your friends make known, O Lord, the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your friends make known, O Lord, the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Let all your works give you thanks, O Lord, and let your faithful ones bless you. Let them discourse of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. Your friends make known, O Lord, the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Making known to men your might and the glorious splendor of your kingdom, your kingdom is a kingdom for all ages, and your dominion endures through all generations. Your friends make known, O Lord, the glorious splendor of your kingdom. The Lord is just in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Your friends make known, O Lord, the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. I chose you from the world to go and bear fruit that will last, says the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. The Lord Jesus appointed 72 disciples, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him, but if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house, and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter, and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is at hand for you. This is exactly what St. Luke was dedicated to proclaiming. He was an evangelist. You know the term, and you hear it when we talk about our team here at Priests for Life, because Alveda King, part of our team, uses the title evangelist. It is a broad title. Scripture says there are those in the church called to be evangelists, and it comes from Greek and Latin. good news, the gospel, the evangelium. Luke was one of the gospel writers. We have, of course, four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There is, of course, one gospel of Jesus Christ in the sense of what is his message. These are not four different gospels in the sense of different messages of salvation. It's all the one gospel of Jesus Christ, but four different writers, each writing from his own perspective, give us this body of writings, which is at the head of the New Testament. And Luke also wrote another important part of the New Testament, which is the Acts of the Apostles. So Luke left us a two-part writing, his gospel, and then the Acts of the Apostles, which traces what happened after the resurrection and Pentecost and all the mighty works that God worked through people like St. Paul and those that were working with him, Mark and Barnabas. And as we see in today's first reading, Luke as well was there with Paul in so many of these works of proclaiming the gospel, especially to the Gentiles. Luke was a faithful companion of Paul when many others abandoned him. And no doubt he learned from St. Paul so many of the insights that he ended up putting in his gospel. Luke is known to emphasize, for example, this mission to the Gentiles. We heard it in the opening prayer, praying that the gospel will reach all nations, all peoples. We see it here in the first reading, that all the Gentiles might hear this preaching word of the gospel. And St. Luke, for example, is the only one. There are, in fact, some six miracles and 18 parables that are found only in Luke's gospel. When you look at the four books of the gospels, there are many stories that are repeated through most or all of them. And yet there are things that are unique to each one of the four gospels. And Luke has many unique elements in his. As I say, miracles, parables, and also this sensitivity to preaching to the Gentiles and showing the Gentiles that God's favor is upon them. Look, for example, at the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's only in Luke. The Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite ignored the man who was in trouble. The Samaritan helped. And then remember the healing of the lepers. That's also from Luke's gospel. Only one came back to give thanks, and that was a Samaritan. So, and there are other examples as well of Luke's sensitivity to this. The gospel indeed is for all nations. God's love expressed in the death and resurrection of Christ is indeed for all nations. Now, Luke also has a number of other special characteristics. He is a physician, and he therefore is the patron saint of physicians and surgeons. And later in the week, we're going to have a special mass, especially for physicians. It's traditionally called the White Mass. And because of the closeness to the Feast of St. Luke, we do that at this time of year. And do we not need more than ever prayers for the medical profession to preserve its integrity and to stop this hijacking of the medical profession by those with ideological goals like abortion and euthanasia, to take what is a healing profession and literally to distort it and to use it for exactly the opposite, making it a barbaric killing profession? This is something we'll reflect on more when we do that special mass later this week. But let's pray for all our medical professionals, not just for their safety, strength, wisdom. They have to make important discernments and decisions, but for the integrity of the medical profession, for the good reputation, you might say, of the medical profession itself, that it not be used as a profession of killing. Luke also expresses a tremendous love for the poor. You heard that come across there in the opening prayer as well. The gospel of the poor in many ways, and therefore of the service that we need to give to the poor. And brothers and sisters, there is no question that the poorest of the poor, the children in the womb who have no voice, no one to help them, and who in the minds of too many people are simply not there. They're simply erased. This is what the other side does. This has to be a commitment of ours on this Feast of St. Luke, that service to the poor will also maintain its integrity and its reputation, if you will, by not excluding the poorest of the poor. We have, unfortunately, the tendency of many to do exactly that. Recently, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, falsely trying to justify killing babies by invoking her adherence to Catholicism, which is no adherence at all, visited with the Pope. Now, she thinks that by some photo op, she's going to justify her blood-stained hands. Doesn't work that way. But the point I'm making is that she'll try to tout how, oh, you know, isn't this wonderful how the Pope cares for the poor? Well, Nancy Pelosi might want to listen to his words about hiring a hitman, which he is the comparison he uses for someone getting an abortion, hiring a hitman to kill a human life to solve a problem. Pelosi's responsible for funneling a lot of money to those hitmen all around the country and around the world. This is makes a farce of social justice. This is an insult to authentic love for the poor. If you're not loving and protecting, defending and speaking up for the unborn, all your other advocacy for the poor is meaningless. It's false. It's an illusion. John Paul II said that in Christi Fidelis Laici, a document he wrote in 1988. He said, the common outcry on behalf of human rights is false and illusory. If the right to life, the condition for all other personal rights, is not defended with maximum determination. And our United States bishops wrote in 1998 that taking a pro-choice position on abortion, the words they used were, renders suspect the rightness that these people claim to have on any other issue. Of course it does. How can you believe in human rights when you contradict the most basic one? I mention all this on the Feast of St. Luke because he was very, very sensitive and put a special exclamation point on the concern, the love, the care we need to exercise for the poor, that is, those who need our help in any way, shape, or form. This doesn't exclude the unborn. It includes them as a matter of first importance. So, brothers and sisters, let's take new strength from St. Luke to vigorously work for the proclamation of the gospel, vigorously work for the integrity of the medical profession, vigorously work for the defense and care of the poor. St. Luke, pray for the unborn and pray for us. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.